evening, you're listening to another Trust the Wizards Outside Broadcast, the final one of the year.
I know, isn't that sad? The last one?
It's the last gig of the year. Nothing else you can squeeze in there?
No, I don't think so. No, this is it. So I'm pleased, though, because we're going to go and see Yo Le Tengo.
You've given the game away almost immediately. Yeah. Yo Le Tengo, yeah, at a place in Liverpool called...
I think, well, I've got the tickets on me, so I just have to... East Village.
Phil for a second here.
East Village Arts Club, there you go. I think that was called something else in the past, but it's on Seal Street anyway, and I think we've been there, but I can't remember who we saw.
I'm imagining people with berets, and easels. And
are you
look at all those things that are blue things that hang down a bit. Tabards.
Okay.
Yeah, because arts club.
I see where you're going.
Beards and all that sort of stuff.
I see where you're going.
And these are the quintessential art-y band.
They are an art rock band in a way, aren't they? I mean, they've been going for years, though.
Well, before you go into that, because obviously this is a gig we're going to be more inspired by than you're inspired by me.
Yeah. You've done research, though, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Extensive research. But it had to be research. You know, this is not from experience. I know virtually nothing about this band until several hours ago, but with my mind where I capture information, I basically know everything about them now.
Yeah.
So much so that I think I need to test you.
Okay.
On your knowledge of the band.
Oh, okay, you can try.
Because you have a voluminous knowledge of the band.
Well, I do like them. I mean, I don't know them.
Not voluminous, then.
I'm not sure about that. I failed the last test, didn't I?
Question one. Okay. So the key lineup is Georgina Hubley.
Yep. Georgia, I think.
Yeah, Georgia. Ira Kaplan. I'll give a bonus half point for that.
Yeah.
And James McNew.
Yes, that's right.
Can you name two past members?
Other than those three?
Other than those three. So that's two past members.
I'm not sure that I can. No. I tell you what I do know, though. I know that they've recently been supported on tour in the USA Reckless Eric.
I'm sorry. No.
Is that no good
to? That's not good at all. No. And, of course, their first 7-inch single was entitled... You've got no idea. That's 1985, The River of Water. It was backed by a cover of Arthur Lee's A House Is Not a Motel.
Can I just come in here with some information that I do know?
It won't get you any points.
No, never mind the points. Cover versions, they're well known for that.
Yes.
They do a lot of cover versions live. I did a little bit of research because I wanted to see what they've been playing on their most recent
tour. I'll tell you, now let me finish the quiz.
Oh, God.
Because I love the humiliation. You must appreciate that. I very rarely get a chance to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, so, obviously, there's some very big names on the internet.
Are there?
Yes, there are. And, of course, these have done an LP... that is very much based on one of those massive, famous internet names. Do you know what it is?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, so imagine Google.
If they
did an LP called Boogle, you'd say. No, so there's other massive internet phenomena.
Yes.
And they've done... I was going to say... I thought you might
Amazon.
Know this one. No.
Fade was the last album they had, huh?
It was, yes, forget that. So, you don't know.
Tell me about turning something inside out.
Their 1990 album, Fake Book... You could have had that one, or you could have had the other one called Fuckbook.
Fuckbook?
Fuckbook.
Can you stop wafting those copious notes that you've printed off said internet? Have you written these, have you?
Yeah. Tack these out. Right, okay, so obviously in 2006, they did the LP. Yellow Tango, or Your La Tango, is murdering the classics.
Ah,
based on the broadcast from the WFMU broadcast that they used to do.
I'm aware of that, man.
Yeah, for the radio station.
Yeah.
And so, what was special about that? What was on LP?
Something special was on it, was it?
Very special, interesting phenomenon, that LP.
was, I don't know, was there a... I don't know, a Sonic Youth song.
There may well have been. But the significant thing about it was on the tip of your tongue, no doubt, was that they pitched up at the radio station and they had no script, they had no idea what they were going to play, and people shouted out cover versions where they had to play on the spot.
Wow, yeah, see, they have got a good knowledge for that. Can I bring
in... Last one. Okay, title of an album. You like this one?
Yeah.
Title of the album. Can you complete this?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of you...
I'm going to beat your ass.
Fuck you.
Yes.
Oh, no, that is the answer.
Yes.
Well done, you.
Yes, I've got one right. Yeah.
What were you saying about that band?
No, cover versions. We should expect some cover versions. And they played in Manchester at the beginning of the year, which I wasn't aware of. I missed that. But they played that night, they played Take Care by Big Star.
Take That.
And you'll know this one. Who are the Mystery Girls?
by the Sex Pistols, New York Dolls.
New York Dolls, yeah. So,
oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good version. And they tend to play Speeding Motorcycle by Daniel Johnson.
And of course they did a collaboration with Daniel Johnson, didn't they?
Have they? Is that in your notes, is it?
Yeah, what I wrote earlier, yeah, Speeding Motorcycle, they did with that was Your Tango and Daniel Johnson.
Was he on it himself, was it? Yeah.
I'll get to that, but you carry on.
All right, yeah. So I would expect there to be at least one or two cover versions tonight. They've got a new album out which is called Fade, which I think you've been listening to over the last 24 hours.
36
hours, yeah. Very good. Which I think is very good. It's a good album, I think.
What I've struggled with this band is that they're quite a loose, you know, it's not...
A loose collective.
No, it's not a loose collective. The sound is very loose. Yeah, I seem to like records that are tense, angry, sharp, fast.
Mm.
It reflects the fact that I'm quite a tense person, I think. And they, I think, are much more relaxed than I am.
Don't you think there's occasionally a real sonic release, though, when he gets going on his guitar, which I think you'll probably quite enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, they are kind of whispered vocals very often, aren't they?
Yeah.
And quite a folky setting, really. Well,
I suppose if we're saying off this LP, the song... Yeah. It's not on that one,
No, which one do you like off the new one? Is it Ohm? Ohm, are you like?
No. The time is not... No, he's not there.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Well, You Better, that's a good song, isn't it? That's a good song of the new album. Favourites that I want to hear...
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that my favourite Yellow Tonga song was Autumn Sweater, and I still really like that, but I've been doing a bit of listening back to their back catalogue, and the song that stuck out is, are you aware of the song Moby Octopad?
No.
I don't really know what that means, but it's got a hell of a bass line.
Well, that guy Moby, isn't there?
Oh, I don't know that.
And maybe it's he rides an octopus, and then where he lands is his octopad.
Okay, well, we can ask them if we get the chance.
If we get a chance, yeah.
Yeah. Sugar Cube, of course, a very famous song by them. They do a great instrumental called I Heard You Looking, which I really like. Played on the pod previously, we had Today Is The Day, I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that, yes. Monday. I made a bit of a fool of myself because I didn't notice that there was a female and a male vocal.
Oh, right, okay.
I just thought...
They all three sing, actually. All three members of you, and I don't know about the two that you didn't tell me who they were.
Do you want to know the
other? Not really, no.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think they're going to be there. Stockholm Syndrome, I'd like to hear that. That's a good song. Quite a poppy song, that one.
Stockholm Syndrome, is that an illness?
It is, yeah. I think... Isn't that where you... isn't Patricia Hurst...
Think you're Patricia Hurst?
No, where you get kidnapped and then you start to associate with the kidnapper and become part... She became part of the gang, didn't she, whichever gang that was.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Well, I've got some physicality, which I know that Chiritho, hello to him, particularly likes the physicality part of the show.
He does, he likes to photograph it and put it on... Twitter, etc.
Well, you've seen that. That was the single. I'll have a look, see what I have, because I've had a few albums over the years, but they're mostly gone. But I've still got this one, which I think is a great cover. Look at that. This is Popular Songs, and it's got a busted cassette on the front, which I really like.
That's tremendous, because the cassette looks like it's metal.
Mm.
It's a rusted cassette.
Yeah. And then inside, that's obviously it's a match. I suppose it's a match, isn't it?
It looks a bit like a match, but that stuff on the end is... Oh, it's like a burnt match.
Yeah, you'd say so, wouldn't you?
But what does that all mean?
Yeah, I don't know what it means. And then buttons on the back.
Did it cost buttons?
It didn't. It's a double album. On vinyl. Probably was quite...
So what's happened to all your other?
Well, I had a couple, but I've sold them, you see. They come and go, these things. They're in and out, you know. It's one of those things, isn't it? Anyway, I'm telling you what I'm hoping for is a very big guitar feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A huge amount of noise.
Yeah.
Intercut with very peaceful.
But when I was listening to it, I thought, well, whereas they don't absolutely smash me around the face on record, isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I thought, I bet they're fantastic live.
I think they've got a reputation for being very good live.
Yeah. Well, my research suggests the on-stage banter.
Oh, banter.
They encourage the audience to ask questions, etc., etc.
Oh, really?
So they've got a bit to say.
So that's why you've done research, because you think you're going to get tested.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be quite embarrassing.
Are you
later
taking
on
your notes with you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. Interestingly, when they played Manchester at the beginning of this year. They actually played two distinct sets. They played an acoustic set to start.
Oh.
I don't know how long it was, but it seemed to be about eight songs or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then an electric set after that. So I don't know if they're going to do that tonight.
And we don't know if there's a support band on?
No, well, I did tweet our follower.
Yeah.
But it made absolutely no effort to find out if it was a small band or not. So, we don't know.
He could well be asleep.
Well, which time zone they think they're in, I don't know. Okay, now. But yeah, New Jersey band, of course. We haven't said that, have we? I've got that at the top of my notes.
Do you think we're biased towards New York?
We like that area, don't we?
Mm, yeah.
Well, maybe it produces music that we like, you know.
Well, it definitely does that.
Well, it does, doesn't
or,
it?
Or maybe we're just not paying attention to the
Boston others as well, of course. We like bands from Boston. Bands from Ohio.
Ohio, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
American
there's whole,
bands.
There's whole swathes of the world, though, that we're completely ignoring.
Yeah, well, time will come.
And, Iceland.
Well, we like bands from Iceland.
But we're not playing any.
Björk.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was going to say, excuse you.
Yes.
That would be a really crap joke.
Unfortunate. Well, anyway... I think that's all I've got to say. Have you come to the end of your notes? Because I'd like to hear a song by him.
That's not a bad idea, is it? Let me think. November, we're out to date. Fade is musically reminiscent of landmarks like 1979. I can hear the heart. Yes, I think that's it.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much for bringing so much information to the table. Very literally to the table. I think I'd like to hear Moby Octopad.
Let's hear right now. Yo Le Tango.
I think Yat La Tango.
Yat La Tango.
No, Yo La Tango.
Give it again.
Yo La Tango.
With Moby Octopus.
Octopad.
Oh, for God's sake. And here we are in busy Liverpool's busy Seal Street.
Yes.
Very much post-gig, post-Yole Tango.
Yola Tango.
Them as well.
Well, interesting, talking about them as well. Before we get on to too much of the description of the gig, let's talk about the support band.
Well, there was two bands on, but the bands bore no relation to each other.
No, absolutely not.
They're nothing like each other whatsoever.
How could they both be on the same bill?
There was a mismatch. It was like Jimi Hendrix and the Monkees, wasn't
it? Was.
But the other way around.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Yeah, because we should point out to the listener that Yola Tango supported themselves.
They supported themselves, yeah. And they came on and they played some of the slowest, quietest songs. Yes. I have ever heard.
It was very beautiful, wasn't it?
It unfolded. It was the velvety underground.
I think that was my line. You stole my line. But I thought, you know, there's kind of an undercurrent, a potential threat of these songs going ballistic.
Mm.
But of course, because they were playing acoustically, they never did.
No. Well, no, and they just reserved themselves. They were playing with brushes and acoustic guitars. Yeah. They were singing,
drums front and centre.
Yeah, they were singing very, very quietly.
Yes.
In harmonies.
Beautiful. I really liked
it. Beautiful songs, yeah.
It was very moving and it was very entrancing, if that's a real word.
Yes, trance is a real word.
Thanks, yeah.
Entrapment's a real word. It probably is a real word.
Let's say it is, because it was fantastic. And I think we should talk about this concept of bands supporting themselves by playing songs that don't sound like their own songs.
Yeah, well, I did make the point. You say they don't sound their own songs. They've got a 30-year career. They must have played quite a few of these songs in that sort of style.
No, and in fact, if I may correct myself, they were all their songs and they did sound like them. But what I'm suggesting, of course, is that there's a very big difference between the acoustic songs and the rocky ones which came later.
I think what you're actually suggesting is Iron Maiden. But if Iron Maiden did an early set with all the songs played at, a tenth of the speed.
Well, isn't that an interesting thought?
On not even acoustic guitars, maybe on the flute.
Well, I don't know why you've gone Iron Maiden. That's a very strange choice.
Metallica.
Well, where are you
Scorpions?
Going? Why are you going there? No, I think you think of a punk band, right?
Yeah, okay.
Let's say the Clash.
Okay. Yeah.
And instead of playing their singles at 45 RPM, they come on and acoustically play them at 33 RPM.
Yeah. Yeah.
No?
Okay, but not with acoustic guitars. Ukuleles and glockenspiels.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
That'd be nice.
That'd
and
be
you'd really
nice.
Get your money's worth. But my comp was, which I think it was wrong.
You were wrong.
But I said, hold on. Mm. Is this
half the gig?
Yes, exactly. Basically, they're coming on, playing the first 45 minutes, then coming on and playing another hour. You think they've played two gigs? They've not. They've played one relatively short gig.
But we weren't shortchanged at all, were we?
Oh, not at all. No.
So, yeah, I mean, great. It came really a nice vibe set up. And we were chilled, weren't we?
We were chilled, but you weren't entirely chilled.
Oh, no. Well, there was what can I say? A couple of twats, weren't there? How do we attract these people? Last time, Pixies, we had the twerp who stood up for no good reason.
Yeah.
And then we had Chatty behind us, didn't we?
Well, I think you come out for a night out with your friend, right?
How dare you speak to them? We don't speak. This is the only time we talk.
No.
This is why we record it, so that we can play it again and again.
I know, but quiet demands quiet, doesn't it? If you're playing that quiet and it's so ambient and they're creating the atmosphere,
right.
You've got to shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
And so,
up.
When they're having small talk about what happened in the office yesterday.
Well, no, it was even worse than that. They were saying, no, they're very good, this band, aren't they?
Oh,
they're great. Oh. Well, I've seen them before. Yes, well, shut the fuck up and listen to them again.
Oh, that's even worse. That's like being in the cinema, isn't it? And saying what happens next. Like, they're going to play another song now. We know. Look, they're playing acoustic guitars. Yeah.
But luckily, we were so chilled by the whole thing.
Yeah,
that nothing kicked off.
I nearly did. Saying very lowly, I wish these cunts had shut up. Did the trick,
didn't it? A little trick there, kids.
So and I've got here on my notes. False stop.
Pardon?
Well, what's happening? So quiet and so slow.
Yes.
That you think they finished?
Yes.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
They're carrying on.
Oh, yeah, you nearly faux-parred, didn't you?
I nearly faux-parred. Yeah, yeah. But I did take a fantastic video. It'll probably be on the site. But what's the point?
So yes, very good.
Of the song, what's the point?
Yes, very good.
One of my favourite songs off the album, which I couldn't remember earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can remember it, thankfully enough.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
It was a beautiful song, and the whole set really worked. And they weren't off, actually, for very long, were they, between the two sets?
I think they just went off long enough to change all the setup around, and then to come back on again. And
they come back on.
I think they sort of announced themselves. I thought that the first song wasn't really a song. It was more
an exclamation mark.
make as much noise as you can,
yes,
so that the sound men can figure out what levels might be, well, in this kind of environment.
The interesting thing was for me was that, as you said, they played very quietly to start with and sang very quietly. Well, they continued to sing very quietly for most of the second set,
yeah,
but they played incredibly fucking,
yeah,
loudly.
You couldn't tell a word.
Not one word, no.
And it was funny, because when they did they finished the last song, and I assumed they were saying, "Where your Lord Tango, where?" You couldn't get so much echo on it. I didn't realise it was echo on the vocals.
I think he said, "Thanks for coming out."
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, which is very nice of him.
Do you want to know the set list?
Well, I noticed that you were scribbling down a set list, but since you don't know the titles of any of the songs, this is going to be remarkable if you've got any of this.
I've got the whole set list.
The whole set list.
Or
the whole of the electric set list.
Yes, the whole electric set, as written down,
yeah,
by the sound man who was stood in front of
me. Oh, brilliant, okay. And did he write down the full song titles, or was it just clues to,
well,
what the song
you tell me! We've got Stupid, followed by False, followed by Kiwi,
yeah,
followed by Enough.
Okay, let me stop you there.
Okay.
Kiwi,
yeah.
That's something Kiwi, and I can't remember what it's called. That was a fucking loud song, that, wasn't it?
Was that the one when he was collapsed
on the keyboard?
To the floor?
No, it was the one on the keyboard.
Yeah.
When they started off, and I thought, is this suicide? Not the act, but the band.
You mean not the act of suicide?
Yeah. But because he was giving it loads of really noisy keyboards,
yeah,
so I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't recognise the song, I have to say, but it was very entertaining.
But you think it might have been Kiwi?
It's something Kiwi. There is a song title with a Kiwi.
Yes, but not one. He did hit the floor.
He did,
he fell to his knees, mm, with his hands on the keyboard, and he said the keyboard was making such a crunching, horrible,
yeah,
exactly like, yeah, a cat being throttled.
Did you describe it as an elephant being?
No, that was later on when he's doing the bass solo,
oh, yeah,
like a cow being strangled.
A cow being strangled. That's
but they were generating lots of those sorts of noise, weren't they?
Super.
And you've interrupted me halfway through me.
So
Enough was played, and then, yeah, and then Beanbag.
Well, can I just say that these are just words from song titles? They're not actually songs.
They are. Before,
but if our listener is a big Yo-Yo Tango fan, they'll be able to.
You can write in and tell us what they are.
Yeah.
So they played before.
Yeah.
After they played Enough, which is strange.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Sug.
Really? Yeah.
Decora,
yeah,
and then Ohm, which I did know.
Ohm.
That as well.
Yes.
And then Hatchet, and that was the last song of the set. Was it Hatcher?
I'm not sure.
Well,
and then of course they came back and did some cover versions, but we'll talk about those a bit later.
Well, yes,
have you got any other notes there?
Yeah, some important notes.
Yeah.
Well, he's an axeman.
Very much so, yeah.
Incredible axeman.
Mm.
I at one point
his era.
What?
Era. Kaplan.
Oh, is that his name's era?
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought a wall of feedback.
Well, and how?
With a sweet refrain. and towards the end of it, it was feedback all the way, wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
And particularly him. I mean, the bass player as well, to an extent.
But he was waving the guitar around, and it's almost like he was ushering in more and more sound and sonic attack.
He was just positioning it all over the place.
Yeah.
And on occasions, just holding the very last bit of the neck,
mm,
and waving it in the air, going...
Well, he wasn't doing that. The guitar was very much doing that. At one point, he swapped over guitars, left one feedbacking on an amp,
yes,
and then picked up another one.
But remember, that was not until previous to that he'd taken that guitar, unreleased all the strings.
He did do that.
Unreleased all the strings.
And I was thinking, look at him untuning it, and you were saying he's not really untuning or indeed tuning it. It makes absolutely
difference whatsoever.
It's just
it made no difference to the sound whatsoever.
No, didn't it?
It was just a mad wall of feedback, yeah, and hollow wailing and God knows what.
And a really tight rhythm section, you've got to say.
That's true. Yeah.
Throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one song, I think it was the penultimate one, and it went on and on and on. It was great, very entertaining. But the bass line was just sort of four notes. But he was solid, wasn't he, with that?
On point the whole way through.
Yeah.
Which enabled your man Ira to go mental.
Absolutely bereft.
I've got some, I wrote down some styles of playing.
Styles of playing?
Yeah, what would you call that style of playing?
Spastic.
Good, yeah, good.
Mm.
I went for, well, I got five, right?
Oh, funny.
Dementor.
Yeah, was that a Harry Potter reference?
It's a Harry Potter reference, which I do like.
Yeah, it's very good.
But they didn't, and you can imagine...
It's interesting you say that, because we should say, because we haven't said this, on the stage, not only were there these three great musicians, but there were two huge, seemingly cardboard trees.
Cardboard trees? Three cardboard trees, I think.
Were there three?
Yes,
you might
were,
be right.
Were, yeah.
But in any case, in the acoustic set, they were lovely and green.
That's true.
When he got going with his mad wailing noise, they kind of went...
browny, grey, and quite spooky. So that fits with your Dementor thing.
The next one I had stealth in, Hunchback of Killer Rams. No, the hunchback bit, I think that's okay, because he did hunch his back.
Yeah.
For long periods, he'd be bent over, smashing the guitar.
Because he very rarely played it with anything apart from the edge of his hand.
He wasn't playing meticulous. I'm saying he's not playing meticulous swords.
Although he did at some points, to be fair.
But I was comparing to Richard Thompson. So if you like guitar solos, virtuosity, watch Richard Thompson.
Yeah.
You like an absolute madman crashing the thing and seeing what sound he can generate.
I did like that.
Mm. See you, Manaira. Mm. Anyway, next one. The Pharaoh of Feedback.
Okay, now are you just going for rhymes here?
No, I've got
In what way was it Egyptian?
Well, there's a lot of wailing in an Egyptian fashion.
I think it was a fatwa of Feedback, was it not?
Fatwa of Feedback. Yes. Very good, that's cashing checks. The Gardener with the Sonic Spade. I did realize...
he was doing that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was digging
with it.
He was digging the neck on the floor. Yeah. He was the gardener.
And he was scooping up sound. It was the ice cream scoop of sound.
The ice cream or the Gardener with the Sonic Spade.
I like mine.
They both work. And then, on a similar theme, he was digging... Right, you'll stay with this last word. Digging for growled. So digging for gold, but not digging for growled. He's dug a bit of growled there.
Okay, fair enough.
That was my five.
That was good, very good.
Thanks for those. And I have to say, the whole show was incredibly impressive. I wasn't expecting it to be quite like that, as we just said, but I did really, really enjoy it.
Well, if you say what was I expecting of the show, we got the really, really quiet and the really, really noisy.
Yeah.
I was expecting the bit in between.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things you hear are the bits in between, but we didn't hear hardly any of that.
I think it's fair to say that the live experience of that band is very unlike the recorded experience. Yeah.
Absolutely not, but all the better for it.
Well, I mean, I like both, I have to say, but that was an outstanding live performance for me.
Well, it's outstanding as well, but I think if you heard that on record, you probably wouldn't quite get it.
Yeah, it'd be a bit like Lou Reed's noisy
metal machine music. Yeah.
Yeah,
lots of it. Yes, really would. Oh dear. So apart from swinging the thing around his head, at one point I just thought, what he's doing there? He's wailing into the microphone. I thought he was going to fall over. Wailing the microphone and rubbing a classic guitar. I think it's the same guitar Elvis Costello uses on the first album.
Yeah,
or second album. Yeah. The Jazzmaster. Yamaha Jazzmaster.
Okay.
And he's racking that over the...
He did do that, yeah.
Over the mic stand. Mm-hmm. Whilst wailing into the mic. Mm. Thinking, this is a very disconcerting noise.
It is a disconcerting noise, but it was fascinating. You couldn't... I mean, obviously you couldn't stop listening because it was all embarrassing. But... You didn't really want to take your eyes off him because you didn't know what he was going to do next.
No, and most certainly he didn't.
Yeah, he really got into it, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was giving it loads.
Shamanistic.
Yes, I think
it was shamanistic.
That's a fair
call. And once you've been drawn into that whole experience, you can't let it go. And I just felt myself sucking up the rock and roll goodness.
Well,
feed my soul.
and our ears are ringing again. You know, it has to be said. And then, of course, they come back for an encore. And I quite like the way that you did that. Did you notice he said, what do you want to hear? But he wasn't asking the audience. He was asking...
Yes, I thought he was asking me.
Yeah, you did shout out a Monkees tune.
Because you said... I wonder if they'll play I'm a Believer.
Yeah, I did say that.
And so he said, what do you want to hear? So I immediately shouted out, assuming everyone does at these concerts, I'm a Believer!
Yeah.
And he looked a bit embarrassed. Yeah. He said, I wasn't speaking to you.
Yes, he did.
I was speaking to her.
Yes, he did.
It was a personal conversation that I just jumped into.
Yes, that was great. A great moment for all.
A bit awkward for me, to be honest with you.
Well, there you go. But anyway,
I'm over it now.
So, anyway, they played a nice song off that one album that I've got. That's good.
I
recognise that. And then, of course, we had our cover versions. Now, he played Frenzy.
Frenzy.
Frenzy of Love. I don't know if that's mine.
I've got no idea.
It sounds like sort of a garagey...
I thought that might be the Cramps or something like that, but it could be anything.
I thought Ramones, but it's not a Ramones song, is it?
He did, to be fair, introduce it, but I couldn't tell the word he said.
Not at all. No, not at all.
But then he noted that he was in Liverpool.
He did.
And said, well, the people fall into two camps. Those people who like the Beatles, or the ones who don't like the Beatles and they think it's too cool to play Beatles songs, and us.
Yes.
Yes.
And so he said, "But we couldn't play a Beatles song. That'd be too cute."
Yeah, yeah.
Someone shouted out, "Play the Frog Chorus."
Did they? Was that you?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But I think it would be an ironic.
Okay.
And he said, "Well, you've got a 1 in 4 chance, I suppose." But we're not playing that.
No, no, no.
And then he went on to say that his favourite Beatle was Pete Best.
Well, see, I think you're mishearing that. I don't think he was he said that he saw Pete Best play in Hoboken, New Jersey, which of course is where they come from.
Yeah.
And that he played the one song that he's got.
Old Bonnie, was it?
No, no, well, everybody wanted to hear him play all these songs, but he played some other song. But I know you thought he was going to therefore play a Pete Best song, but he didn't.
I thought he had done.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
To be fair.
But he played a lesser-known George Harrison song.
Locked Doors.
Locked Doors, which, and that was beautifully sung, I thought. Oh, look at that, we've got a hen party coming up the road.
Oh, yeah, hold on,
this could go badly.
I think so.
Let's hope they go past. Please go past.
Yeah.
Please don't stop. We're just normal fellas here, talking and recording our conversation. Bye! Oh, good, they've gone.
That's quite exciting. That is a relief. Well, you will record in busy town centres.
Well, you know, you've got to get these things on. So anyway, the beautiful finish, because it did tie it up beautifully, nicely, wasn't it? Because it was a beautiful, gentle song.
He bookended. Oh, they bookended the concert.
Well,
beautiful, quiet music.
And actually, they kind of did before, towards the end of the main set, because they opened with the song Ohm in an acoustic style-y.
They did.
And then they played the electric version.
The one we must say, at least 10 minutes electric version.
Yeah, a bit longer than on record, but I think we should finish now with the record version of the song
Ohm.
Ohm. Because Ohm, of course, is the measurement of resistance. And at this point, resistance is futile.